With me in your pew Bible this morning to chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, and we are going to read verses 6 through 8, which is day 2, and then we're going to add a couple verses to that, as you can see, verse 15 and verse 20, which gives us an update to things that are going on in verses 6 through 8, and then we're going to go to the New Testament, 2 Peter 3, verse 5 this morning. Now follow along with me as I read along. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And then verse 15, "And let them be lights in the vault." Now the lights would have been stars, if you read further back. "And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. And then down to verse 20. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." And then 2 Peter 3, verse 5. Give you a minute to get there, about page 1896 this morning. "But they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water." The reading of the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is by your Spirit that this message comes together. And Lord, may your Spirit deliver that message today. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here in your house. And those that are watching us online today as well, Lord, may you bless them with that same spirit. Lord, may you teach us something new, something fresh, something that we maybe don't fully understand today. Lord, may we leave here knowing that you are the mighty creator. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. I'm going to show you a picture here this morning. And what I want to know is how many of you are eager for this kind of a sky to come your way? Rain. How many of you would like a good old thunderstorm? Just a couple of you. All right? I think every one of you would, right? And so we do need rain bad. And you guys in the farm community know that. You experience that. One of the driest falls that I can ever remember. And I'm not that old yet. Some of you are older. But to see what's going on, this is a tough place to be. So I'm going to do something a little different here this morning in my message, as we're going to stop right now, and we're going to pray for rain. All right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we long for that sky to turn dark and to give rain to the earth. Lord, we are exceptionally dry here in our area. Lord, we know we hear of drought that is affecting most of the Midwest and over to into the western parts of the United States as well. Lord, we hear of drought in other parts of the world, Lord, and we get concerned about those things. What does next year look like? We have faith, Lord, that you will provide. But Lord, you also call us to pray for things that we need. And so, Lord, we need rain. And so we pray that you'll send rain, you'll send moisture for next year's crop. And we don't know what that'll be like, whether it's snow or rain next spring, but we do pray for rain today. And so we just ask that you bless us, Lord, and that we continue to be people of prayer and to come to you for the needs that we have. And Lord, we know that we have a need today for moisture. In Jesus, we pray those things. Amen. All right, back to our message here today. I want you to think about when you see a thunderstorm roll in from the west. How many of you get a little excited and you see it, lightning, and you see the dust clouds, and you've learned two new words this past summer? How many of you heard of the word haboom, right? And derecho is the other one that we recognize and we know about and we understand. And so I want to talk to you today about the vault. You've seen it read in Scripture today that God created the sky. Day 2 of creation is what I want to visit with you about today. If you think about water, you and I would not survive without water. Everything that we have needs water that's living. You need to drink. The plants need to be watered. Livestock needs water. The wild animals, they need water to survive. And that was created on day two. And so we have the system of moisture that the sun radiates moisture into the sky, and it rains and we get clouds and our moisture falls throughout the earth. And I want you to think about that process today, because without it, life could not be sustained. Without water, without the sky, without our atmosphere that you and I are so used to seeing and being a part of. Now let me explain to you, I'm going to use different terms in this message this morning. In the NIV I read to you, it speaks of the vault. All right, if you look at other passages, as far as the King James version of it, it calls it the firmament. All right, if you like that version, and I'm totally fine with that. If you like the English Standard Version, it will use a word, expanse. And so if you hear me use those words throughout the message this morning, I'm talking about the same thing, just different translations of Scripture this morning. And so let's start with the question here of how do we understand this vault or expanse or the firmament that the Bible speaks of? And most of you, this is going to be a review. But then we're going to dig in a little bit deeper, something that you maybe never have heard of before or maybe thought of before in this message. And so for us to understand that question of this passage, we need to read other verses, which I throw verse 15 and verse 20 at you this morning out of Genesis chapter 1. And I spoke to you that the Bible is good at giving us updates, and here's an update that helps us understand verses 6 through 8. All right? I have verse 20 on the screen this morning. You can read along with me if you like to. If you have your Bible open, that's great. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, let the birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. We see the vault, the sky, the firmament. Get that picture in your mind this morning. Notice the birds that fly across. Now, if you have your Bible open, I don't have this on the screen, but look at Genesis 15 through 17 out of chapter 1. And let them, the stars, be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on earth. And it was so. Now, we're going to look at this down the road. This is another day of creation, but this supports what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. So God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. And then it says this. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. Once again, we gain a description of what the expanse is in Scripture. We see birds, we see the sun, we see the moon, we see the stars in the expanse. And so then we get to the next question. So what does all this mean to you and me from Scripture? If you start to break that down, there's some neat things that we need to look at here. The expanse is outer space, where the sun, the moon, and the stars are. It's also the atmosphere where the birds fly. How many of you have flown before in an airplane? Yeah, most of you have done that. You fly in the atmosphere. How many of you have been to the moon? Maybe someday. You go to outer space and you fly to the moon. Do you see the difference I'm talking about? During the day, do you see stars? No, usually not. Maybe once in a while. You see the sun and you see the blue sky. But what do you see on a clear night? Stars, right? A long ways off in the universe. You see into outer space. There's those two different types of things that I'm talking about here this morning that God created, and he calls them the vault or the firmament or the expanse this morning. Now, let me go a little bit further with you if you're with me in the Bible. Verse 7, and God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. You with me so far? We have this gap, right? We call the sky, the atmosphere. The waters under the expanse are the waters that we find on earth today. They're the lakes and streams, your wells. You drink from them. You water crops from them. You water your garden from them. You recreate on them. You fish. You go boating. You go swimming. All those types of things is what water under the earth, under the expanse, provide for us every day. And often I think that we take those types of things for granted, what God provides for you and I. But what do we know about the waters above the expanse? You ever spent some time thinking about those types of things? I mean, it's kind of mind-blowing to understand that, and we don't know all the details of what's going on, but we know some. So maybe this is the first time that you've heard about the waters above the expanse, above the atmosphere, outer space. This is what I'm going to talk to you about here this morning. There's a verse that I want to share with you out of Psalm 148, verses 3 and 4. It says, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Have you ever caught that before when you read Scripture? When it says that? The waters above the heavens? What is God talking about here? What does that mean when he created on day two? In the outer ring of the universe, by the way, we've never reached that. It is a long, long ways. I don't think scientists understand how far that could be. But in the outer ring of our created universe, the Bible says that there is a layer of water that circles this whole creation. That's what that verse alludes to. And now, if you're following with me, 2 Peter 3, verse 5 lends support to that. For they deliberately overlooked this fact. All right? So Peter's talking here, and he's understanding creation. Of course, we know that this is the breathed word of God, correct? The foundation that we believe that when we read the Bible, that everything in there comes from the word of God. And it says this. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, comma. Do you see that? The heavens existed long ago, comma. It stops. That's a phrase right there. What that's telling us is that God has been around for a very, very long time before the earth was even created. That's what that's telling you and I this morning. And then it goes on to say this about creation. And the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And you see it as the planet today. So Bible scholars believe that water is the main element that God created with. And he spoke it into existence today. Another interesting fact I just want to leave with you here this morning. I just mentioned before that the realm of heaven, where God exists, was around long before the earth was created. Just a tidbit for you this morning. I'm going to talk to you about something that I learned through a seminary. Some of you, we've alluded to this, and if you're in our Sunday school class, adult Sunday school class after church that meets in here, we talked about this a little bit last week. But how many of you ever heard of this? The water vapor canopy model. All right? Now, let me tell you, this is a theory. What do you know about a theory? Right? It's not proven to be true or false. Let me tell you also about a theory. When you see of a theory, this is not biblically backed. I can't give you scripture that says this is true because we don't know for sure. But there are some Christian scientists that come up with this theory that I want to share with you because I think it's good for you to know as a believer. You need to know what's going on out there. You need to understand what people are talking about, especially in the scientific world. Have any of you studied this in high school at all? Have you ever heard of it? Anybody ever heard of it before? Oh, very good. You're going to learn something very new here this morning, which I'm excited to teach you about this morning. So there's this theory this morning that I want to share with you. And this theory is not very old. With the modern day science and the technology that we have today, scientists have studied this about maybe 150 years ago. Christian scientists came up with this theory of what if God placed a ring of water in the atmosphere, not in outer space, but just on the edge of the atmosphere that circled the entire earth from day one in creation. All right, now go with me there. Day one, God created. We have this ball of mush and water and stuff, and God created the earth. And then day two, we have the creation of the sky and the expanse. And then we think that at some point, there's this wall of water that circled this whole globe, right? Now, in that wall of water is our universe. But think about in between there, there's this wall of water. Let me clarify this for a moment. The sun and the moon are on the outside of this wall of water. All right? Are you with me yet? Yeah, shake your head. Come on. All right, okay, because I want you to understand this, because I don't want you to think, boy, that Rob, he's lost it today. I don't want you to leave here thinking, okay, this is a study, and when I'm going to read you some things, now remember, this is a theory because we don't know for sure. We always will stay to the truth of the gospel, what we have in God's teaching. But I want you to leave here thinking, hey, that could be possible because we serve an awesome God, okay? Now, if you follow along with me here now. So the water vapor canopy model says that during creation, God placed a ring of water around the earth, causing a greenhouse effect upon the earth, and everything was perfect. There's no polar caps. It's a constant 70 degrees. Everything is green and lush. The water came up from the earth and watered everything. Adam and Eve, they're running around with Tommy Hilfiger clothes on, correct? Nothing. So the Bible says that they were naked, and before they had sinned, right? They did not know they were naked, but there was no need for clothes because the atmosphere was perfectly regulated by God before the fall of sin. 70 degrees, day and night, is the theory that they come up with. Now, let me give you some more thought to that. Remember now, Noah, he's building this. Now, you have to go with me a little bit. Noah's building this ark, and God says, I'm going to send rain for 40 days. And everybody on earth said, it's never rained yet. You're crazy, Noah. And Noah, he follows God's his vision for him, and he builds this ark. And then jump with me just a little bit here. If you think about this, there's a biblical verse that I want to share with you this morning. Genesis 7, verse 11, and that's coming down the road here. But listen to this. In the 600th year of Noah's life, notice how old he was, okay? Stop with me just for a minute there. If there's a ring of water around the earth, what scientists have figured out is that UV light cannot pass through the ring of water. What do you know about UV light? What does sun do to you today? Besides, young ladies give you an awesome tan, right? It degrades things. There's some theory that the UV light was held away from God's people, preventing them from aging very fast. And so we see people in the Bible, in the first part of Genesis, live to be, what, Methuselah, 969 years old? And we see Noah here being talked about at 600 years old. And so some Christian scientists have the theory that this ring of water kept the UV light out. And people lived long lives. Now, there's other reasons behind that as well, because there wasn't the disease and the sickness back then, because creation was new. And it's different today. But then it goes on to say this. The 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great burst forth, and the windows of heavens were opened. So there's some theory here. Where did all this water come from? When the great flood came upon the earth. And there's some scientists that believe that this ring of water that was engulfed around the earth fell to the earth. God let it go. UV light came in. The age of you and I was shortened to 80 or 90 years. is what the Bible says. That's the water canopy, the water vapor canopy model. Now, if you say, Rob, can you give me some scriptural verses for that? I can't. I can't. There are none there. God gives us none of those things. But it's a theory that Christian scientists have come up with, that this is a possibility that maybe this is how it was. And we'll talk further down the road about how maybe God tilted the axis of the earth and the polar caps came about. And we'll get into that down the road in another sermon, but not today. But I'm going to leave you with that theory. Just to roll that around in your head. Now, if you get to heaven someday and God says, you know, Rob was a little off, believe your God. All right? The water vapor canopy model. I was first introduced to this when I was in seminary. One of my professors said, you guys as pastors, you need to be aware of this. This is what's going on in the Christian science field, and there's studies on this. There's different opinions on this. Some scientists says, I don't think that ever happened. I don't think God created that. And there's some that said, yeah, that's a possibility that this could have happened. So I can't give you 100% yes or no one way, but it's a theory. Remember what a theory is. It's an idea of how God created and he allowed some things to happen here on earth. Let's jump ahead just a little bit. Day two. Here's what's more important. Day two, God's preparing the earth for life. All right? Because on day three, 5 and 6, he created all kinds of living things. We know that on day three, he created plants, trees, all those types of things. What does a plant need to survive? Carbon dioxide, right? Oxygen gets produced out. Who uses oxygen? You and I, animals, livestock, those types of things. And so we know that on day two, God prepared the planet for life. He filled it with carbon dioxide and he filled it with oxygen so he could create on day three. And our solar system came about. And get this, it is perfect to support life. Now I have I want to share another term with you this morning, and maybe you've never heard of this. How many of you have heard of the anthropic principle? Anybody heard of that at all? You guys are getting a lot of science this morning. Okay, this is what this says. It's pretty simple. I'll just go right to the definition and I'll explain it some more. The universe appears to have been fine-tuned for the existence, and if I could put some words into that, of human life, of livestock, of wild animals, of plants, fine-tuned for the existence by God. Scientists come to the conclusion, this earth, our lives, it's way too complicated. There's no way that evolution or the Big Bang Theory could ever create in this way. Because if one little thing is out of step, you and I wouldn't be living here today. There's one here on the, I can't read the picture, I'm sorry, but it has to do with the rotation of the moon. If it's just a little bit closer to Earth, it would affect gravity, which would affect everything living. Or if it's a little further out from the Earth, it had the same effect. Minuscule things. And the scientists have come up with one after the other that if this wasn't the right ratio, if this wasn't the right ratio, if this wasn't the right ratio, we would not have life. And so many scientists, most of them Christians, have said there has to be a higher creator. And we know that as God, our creator. That's the anthropic principle for you and I to know today. How many of you now know what the anthropic principle is? There you go, right? It's the goodness of God. We believe in a creator. Now let me finish with one other thing here this morning to help give you some reference to what's going on. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 2, and we didn't read this verse, I'm going to read it to you now. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. Now how many of you ever read or how many of you ever wondered, what does he mean by the third heaven? Here's what he means. I'm going to explain it to you this morning. So the first heaven would be our atmosphere, our sky. All right? The second heaven would be outer space, the universe. the stars, the moon, the sun. The third heaven would be the heaven of heavens, where God reigns, where God lives, where Jesus is seated on the throne at his right hand. It's where your loved ones who have passed away from this earth, who are believers in Jesus Christ, go to. That's the third heaven that Paul is speaking of. And so when you get into Scripture, you're going to read about the heavens and those different types of things. And I want to send you home with some knowledge of that, that when you say, well, what does it mean you talk about in the heavens? Because we read Scripture earlier this morning, the birds were flying in the heavens, right? Well, obviously, the Bible is referring to the first layer, the first heaven of the atmosphere, the clouds, the sky. But here Paul refers to the heaven of heavens in 2 Corinthians. All right, now I can never end a message without speaking about Jesus Christ, because he's the one that made it possible for you and I to leave this earth because of him on the cross, dying for our sins, that we could go to the third heaven. And I could ask you, well, how many of you want to go to the third heaven? And all of you would raise your hand. At least I assume that's what it is. And maybe some of you are still out there and you're debating, I don't get this whole created earth thing yet. I'm not sure if I'm ready to hang my hat on Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And here's what I want to say to you today. You just keep coming to church and God will do his part in your life. I promise you that. And for you that have salvation today, how many of you are looking forward to that third heaven that Paul speaks of? I am, right? Many of you are. That's going to be a glorious day someday. Amen to that? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we've learned quite a bit about day two today. We've learned some stuff we didn't know before, some new terms again. And Lord, we know that we are to stick to your word, what the Bible teaches us. Lord, you've given us enough there for salvation. We don't understand everything. There are still so many questions that we have about creation and trying to understand our lives and how we live on this earth. But Lord, we trust in your plan. We have faith in you that you'll carry us through this life and upon this earth. Lord, everything's in your hands. It's in your control. Lord, and so we just we pray to a mighty, infinite God here today. Lord, you have given us the air we breathe. Our hearts beat because you allow them to beat. Lord, may we never take you for granted, the blessings that you give us every day. Lord, we are your people and you are our God. In Jesus I pray, amen.